Welcome to Cloud Tech Talks, your go-to cloud podcast from Amdas Technologies. I'm Singapuria, Senior Manager, Marketing and Alliances from Amdas. In the last episode, we had Dustin Mullenix, Director of CloudFinOps, KPMG, as our guest discussing on the topic, developing and empowering CloudFinOps professionals. The episode was hosted by Madhu Kumar, Founder and CEO of Amdas. This is part two on the same. Let's continue.
I know it's a slight deviation from this people-centric FinOps. I see some FinOps companies are looking at, can I do end-to-end automation? You think the FinOps professional, which is practitioner-led, should he be only in the decision-making or should he be in the analysis, the human in the loop for FinOps end-to-end? Where do we see the FinOps practitioners come in? Are they a data engineering team, data science, full analysis, or they're just a human in the loop for decision making? You know,
that's an interesting question. I will say, though, if you tie it back to tooling, yeah. I like a boundary where, in terms of any automation, anything that affects the technical resources, okay? So not a commitment discount purchase, but a change in the technical resources. I like a boundary where FinOps is not permitted to make that change. I want technical people making the change. Uh-huh. But if you talk about tools that provide recommendations and you could approve and it can automatically be implemented, I like the idea of a technical team using that tool and being able to approve or reject in an automated implementation. Now, you have to get comfortable with the algorithm. You have to start in the lowest environments, but I like that idea. Now, I think where the FinOps person would still in that kind of situation be involved is making sure that the right opportunities are being sent to the right people and still reporting. And it depends. I think, in a perfect world, if a FinOps team had done their job to the end, then you could argue that they're not needed because it's been pushed out into the enterprise. And you could say, oh, well, you've worked yourself out of a job. And that might be the case. I'm not afraid of that because I know the need in the market.
Yep.
Right. It's not that I'm looking to switch companies, but I'm not afraid of our team working ourselves out of a job in the sense of there's so much overall need for this. And I know that if our job goes away, because we've pushed everything out to the edges and the teams, then we've done the right thing.
Absolutely. I love that. Yeah. I think that is a culture. That is where it becomes your bold. You know, you take extremely bold decisions in FinOps so that financially you can sleep tight that, oh, I'm not, quote unquote, the bad word I don't like, wasting any cloud resources, you know.
Sure.
Because when I read Gartner's and Forrester's and all these big reports, I see this cloud waste at 30-40% and big, big numbers. Always I've seen, you know, when you put that big numbers, it excites you on one side, but it makes you feel bad as well, you know. Mm. Hey, what am I doing wrong? So that's where these FinOps practitioners have to come in with such a maturity and say that, oh, you're not doing anything wrong. There was a better way. When you did it, you were not aware of it. I'm educating you. And
well,
that
there you go.
Becomes a continuous learning. Yeah.
But I like the way you phrased that. And it reminds me, and I learned this the hard way,
yeah.
But there was a blog entry by, I want to say, a company called Xstratus. It's a FinOps consultancy out of Austin.
Okay.
And I want to say the title of the entry was The Black Box of Cloud Financial Management. But there's a quote in that blog entry, and they say something like this. In general, when you first approach technical teams with cost data, mm-hmm. they're going to perceive that you're accusing them. So you've got to be very sensitive and say, listen, these are just facts. We're not accusing you of anything. However, there's an opportunity for us to do better, and we want to show you how to do that. And if you will collaborate with us and do better, we will again give you credit to leadership. So it's really about the psychology and making sure that that your stakeholders trust you,
yep.
and that you're not going to cast them in a bad light because of things they didn't know about in the past.
Correct. And you know, I love that. It's not really knowing, it's more of at that point in time, that decision was the best. Because, you
Sure.
know, they had a corporate strategy, they had a division, there was a push. It could be even I sometimes call unrealistic time zone, you know, project schedules, not the time zone a thing. Certain projects, if you want to complete it, you better do known alignment issues. You know, you know that I'm over provisioning. I have to get it done. I don't want my user to be sitting there twiddling their thumbs, you know. So
Sure,
you
sure.
do that, then you go back and say, you know what, everything is running smooth. We
Yeah.
did our best. Now it's time to look at, can I do something about financial management? Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, if you had a hurricane coming and you just had some week out forecast, right?
Correct.
You could access a contractor, you would not care so much about the cost of constructing some shelter.
Yep.
You would say it needs to be done on day five,
Yep.
right? And we'll go back and revisit cost elements later if we can. And there are situations like that in business.
I know, Dustin, you use the word hurricane. I think Sindhu knows. Last time when we did one podcast with David Lindegum, he kind of used the same word, you know, saying that cloud migration, some organizations took it like a very, very strong swim lane hurricane approach, you know, just get it done, move on.
Right.
We need to get out of the data center. And that introduced certain challenges, you know. So anyway, very interesting, Dustin. I think you know, Sindhu, thank you very much for the time. We covered the elements of you know, hiring, identifying team members, looking at how FinOps professionals should behave in an organization, what are the qualities. And Dustin, as a closing remark, would you like to add for the companies who are listening to this? If there are two types of advice I would love you to sum it up with. One, an organization who doesn't have a FinOps team, how do they create? Or the second part of the area is, if you can throw some lights on, they have a FinOps team, they use practitioners, they do some tooling, what improvements they should constantly look for. So one who is without, whoever is listening to the podcast,
Right.
and who is new to it, what's your advice? And who is already in, did a lot of things, still unhappy with possibly the end results. What should they do?
Sure. I'll start. So the first one, if there is, it is almost, I'm comfortable saying it's a universal truth that if an organization is in the cloud and they don't have a FinOps discipline, let's call it a discipline because it could be somebody doing it part-time, then they're wasting money. And, or to use a better word, they're not as cost efficient, a different word, they're not as cost efficient as they could be. For that organization, I think in general, FinOps ought to start with a follow the money approach. What I see is in organizations, in applications, and almost at every level in cloud spend, there's a Pareto pattern where the most expensive applications drive 80% of the spend. Maybe it's three to five applications in an organization, or within an application, three to four services in AWS or Azure or Google drive 90% of the spend. So that's where you want to focus. Follow the money. And there are, if you look at the high spend areas, there are going to be a handful of cost reduction opportunities that emerge just by looking at the data. Now, these could be small. So you could start with experimentation on commitment discounts. You could start on technical changes. You could start in lower environments. But so start small, but it needs to be someone's responsibility. And so commitment discounts could be one area to focus, or reductions. It also, usage, right sizing, et cetera, or tier reductions. On the other side, perhaps a place to start for that same organization might not be optimization, it might be forecasting. When you look at the data in the industry, companies consistently rate themselves very low on the discipline of forecasting. Now, in order to develop a forecast, you have to answer probably 5 to 10 critical questions, and the discipline of doing that is going to emerge all kinds, it's going to raise all kinds of valuable insights that will let the organization make their cloud resources more cost effective. So I would say start there, but it needs to be the responsibility of someone, and that person, and even if it's only 5 hours a week, and there needs to be executive sponsorship. That person has to know that their effort and the voice of articulating those insights to others is going to be heard and acted on. Otherwise, it's not going to be effective.
Excellent.
And having said that, then one more step on this. If they really want to develop a practice and they don't have it, I'm convinced that if you think about a progression of value in the market for a firm, let's take somebody who just got their FinOps certified practitioner certification. That theory, it's only theory, but it is worth something in the market and it can help. I think 3 months in of applying that theory and they've stepped up in value. A year in, they're more valuable. At 1 to 2 years, they can start to mentor other people. And so I do think the progression from very new to being valuable, even for a new practitioner, is very fast. And people need to understand that. And so if you can't go to the market and get experienced talent at the price point you want, then look internally for somebody who is willing to take initiative and is willing to learn. And they're willing to do a little math and learn some technical concepts. And that person can flourish if they have executive sponsorship. That's on the, you know, we don't have anything and how do we implement it. On the side where there is a practice and that you want to make it better, I think that's the heart of FinOps. That's what I love about it. It is oriented towards continual improvement. And so there are a bunch of ways to do this. But first of all, in FinOps, even the most experienced practitioner or somebody who has a lot of experience, when you bring an idea to somebody and you share what you're trying to do and they don't know much about FinOps, if you can articulate what you're doing in simple terms, they will often give you feedback or ask a question that makes your work better. Similarly, there are things that I know our team ought to do and I start on it, but I realize somebody on our team can do it better and I'll hand it to them. And so I was working on a scope of responsibility in our audit practice, mm-hmm. and I'm focused on new opportunities, and I brought someone else in and she's already making improvements to what I did. Right. Excellent. So the ability to learn from it, the willingness to learn from anyone, the humility to accept the fact that I'm never as good as I should be, and there's always a way to get better, and that might be through internal collaboration, it might be through external research, it might be through the FinOps Foundation. I think those are critical. But an orientation towards continual improvement leads to this. And then, of course, it's about prioritizing, well, what do I focus on next for improvement?
Excellent. I like that. I think the continual improvement is the thing. It's like you practice what you preach. You know, as a FinOps professional, you should be practicing what you preach to them. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, Dustin, I know we had a very long conversation. Thank you very much for the time. And, you know, me and Sindhu know how to reach out to you. But for the audience, how do they reach out to your wisdom, your help? Is it LinkedIn? Or if you can throw a couple of seconds on how people can reach out to you, get benefit from your knowledge and experience.
Sure. Yeah, it's LinkedIn is the best way. And I have a lot of people that contact me on LinkedIn. And I generally, I try to make time for them, unless it's a sales pitch that's totally outside the scope of what I do. I try to make time for people either to share my experience or to give them feedback on their FinOps tool, for example. I always find that I gain from those conversations as well as give. Excellent. And so they're definitely mutually beneficial. So LinkedIn is good.
Excellent. Thank you, Dustin, Sindhu, if you have any topics. But otherwise, I had my fantastic day talking to Dustin. Look forward to some future sessions, maybe after, you know, a couple of quarters. And I would love to definitely exchange notes with Dustin later on. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure. I enjoyed talking about it. Great to meet you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dustin and Madhu. So that wraps up today's episode, listeners. We have covered a lot of ground on empowering FinOps professionals, and I hope it gave you valuable insights to take it back to your teams and get some benefits. A big thanks to Madhu and Dustin for their expertise and thoughtful discussion. So if you find this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe and do write all your challenges to info@theRateOfAmbitsGlobal.com. Our next topic would be your challenge. Until next time, enjoy your cloud journey. Thank you.